Unfortunately, we only have 22 minutes or 3 minutes for this program, but I think we got the idea that we appreciate that. And Michael Lane, I know you have a reaction, but let's listen to some of the viewer reactions on the topic of this debate. As posted on our Facebook page, I will come back to the debate momentarily.
It proves without a shadow of a doubt who really determines the U.S. policies. President of the nation cornered by a foreign prime minister at his home. It must ring the alarm, but Americans are victims of Zionist agenda and will remain so for a very long time to come. Netanyahu is going to drum up for war against Iran. Soon after this, the U.S. will attack Iran on behalf of Israel. It proves that Netanyahu is the president and Obama is deputy prime minister of Israel. It shows who determines the U.S. policy on global affairs, especially in the Middle East.
Some of the viewer comments there. Well, Michael Lane, your reaction, but before you give that, can you please tell us, Michael Lane, I know this might be a tough question, but what use does Israel have for U.S. policies in the region, and I'm talking about the Middle East?
Well, I think, you know, the United States and Israel have been allies for a long time. Economic allies, military allies. The relationship goes back a long way, and as Ms. Weir says, it's a very special relationship. It's one based on trust, and it's one based on the perception of mutual interests in the region. We have other allies in the Middle East, but Israel is clearly the most important one that we would enumerate among the many. Now, I think the reason that we are allies with Israel is because they are a beacon of democracy in the area. In the upcoming Israeli elections, should the Israeli people choose a new prime minister rather than the current prime minister, Mr. Netanyahu, then a peaceful transition will occur. Mr. Netanyahu will step down voluntarily, accepting the will of the electorate, and a new prime minister will be given the chance to form a new government. That is really the key reason why the relationship between America and Israel is so special, and we would hope, understanding that you can hope for a lot of things that you might not get, but we would hope that the institution of democracy would take hold around the world and particularly in that region. Now, responding directly to a few things that Ms. Weir said, you know, I think rumors of a conspiracy that Tel Aviv is the real capital of the United States are greatly overblown. We don't do what Israel tells us to do, as evidenced by the fact that there is essentially no relationship at all between Netanyahu and President Obama. President Obama has dispatched his campaign operatives and had a funding mechanism to fund the V15 organization over in Israel that is working to take Netanyahu's campaign down. We have other American interests, including Jewish interests in America, a group called J Street, which is closely affiliated with the Democratic Party, that is actively working to bring Netanyahu's government down. So to say that Tel Aviv runs our foreign policy, I think, is a bridge too far. It just doesn't hold up under scrutiny.
Well, at least with this administration, doesn't seem so, based on your statements there, Michael Lane. But Alison Weir, it's interesting. Michael Lane says Israel is a beacon of democracy in the region and an institution of democracy. And he started out saying that both the U.S. and Israel trust each other. Having a hard time understanding how democracy is what Israel represents when we look at what's happening with the Palestinians. Do you agree?
That's right. This is Israel is a democracy to the same extent that South Africa was a democracy when it had its apartheid system. Yes, there were elections in South Africa. There were different people were elected under a system in which a large portion of that population was under extreme oppression and discrimination. South Africans that have visited Israel and the occupied territories have said that when they look at what the situation that the Palestinians are living under, it is even worse than the Bantustans in South Africa. In terms of the trust that the United States and Israel supposedly have for each other, Israel consistently spies on the U.S. This is the Government Accounting Office has reported on that. In terms of the friction between Mr. Obama and Mr. Netanyahu, that's true. But during the middle of, in the midst of that, Mr. Obama continues to talk about his loyalty to Israel. He continues to support Israel. He continues to say the types of things that the liberal Zionists in the United States want. What's going on here is really a struggle between the parties in Israel, and those are represented in the United States by two of the major funders that that drive many of our elections. Haim Saban, an Israeli who lives in the United States, supports the Democratic Party. He supports J Street. He's does that on behalf of Israel. Sheldon Adelson is a Republican who supports the right wing and the Likud, and he supports the Republicans. Both of them are doing what they feel is the best thing to do on behalf of Israel. That's
and,
the situation.
Quickly, we're running out of time, and this question I want to address to both of you. Michael Lane, under Netanyahu's watch, the first Palestinian embassy in Western Europe set to open in Stockholm, Sweden. So Palestine has come a long way under Netanyahu. Tell us your impression about how Palestine has emerged and resisted Netanyahu's aggressive nature in terms of the occupied territories.
Well, I think it'll be a wonderful day when the Palestinian state is formally established and recognized throughout the world, and Palestine is able to have embassies in every capital throughout the world. That will be a wonderful, joyous day. We all look forward to that happening. There are certain steps that need to be taken for us to get there. Among those steps are that we achieve peace and tranquility in the region and the ability for the two sides to live side by side. I'm not going to call the Israel a guardian angel. Certainly they're not. But we heard things about them spying on us. Well, we spy on them as well. And, you know, we probably spy on every country there is, as evidenced by the fact that we were spying on Chancellor Angela Merkel's cell phone.
Same question to you, Allison Weir.
It'll be a wonderful day when we achieve peace.
Thank you very much, Michael Lane. Go ahead, Allison Weir.
Well, Michael Lane, as many Israel partisans claim to be in favor of a Palestinian state, what they're talking about is a state that's on maybe 15 to 20% of original Palestine that would not be in control of its own borders and would not be really a sovereign state as modern states are known. Yes, that would certainly benefit Israel if that happened. Israel could have had that decades ago if they hadn't continually sabotaged the pretend peace processes that go on, if they didn't continually confiscate additional Palestinian land, build illegal settlements. So it's Israel that has sabotaged that. Now, I think the smart Zionists, the smart Israel partisans, realize that Israel has a wonderful opportunity. It could easily take at least 85% of traditional Palestine. It could give the Palestinians about maybe 15%.
Okay.
It would be a
prison,
but they would call it
Palestine. I got to jump in. We're just fresh out of time. But thank you very much. In the studios, Allison Weir here, Executive Director of America's New, gave us her comments. And thank you, President of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who spoke to us from Washington. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tawai and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.